would you like to get the highest possible return on investment for your short-term rentals with the right property manager? Paul Shim will tell us how to do it. He's a seasoned entrepreneur and the CEO of TrueStay, a short-term rental management company. So, Paul, tell us, how can entrepreneurs leverage short-term rentals and great property management in order to obtain the highest possible income without any stress?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Yeah, Lily, thank you so much. And, you know, before I jump in, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. I love what you do. So again, just excited to chat a little bit about it. And again, you know, as a disclaimer, I just want to say short-term rentals and property in general, it is not this magic silver bullet, right? I think some people think that it's like the holy land. If they get one vacation rental, then they just made it. And, you know, it's a great part of your overall portfolio. Like, you absolutely should have property inside your portfolio mix. And honestly, like, I'm a big believer of having long-term and short-terms together. With that being said, we do see a lot of market opportunity for short-term rentals to give significant returns over long-terms if you're using data correctly. And I think that's where a lot of people have been burned in the past, right? I mean, 2020, COVID happened, all of a sudden Airbnbs were the next big thing. Everyone kind of bought into that bubble. The prices went skyrocketing, and that's okay. But when you're not using data correctly and you're just buying a home at whatever price because you're convinced that this will make this massive return for you, it doesn't always, right? And now we're seeing the downside of that, where there's a lot of owners who are saying, oh man, you know, I'm super upside down on this thing. It's not cash flowing the way I thought it would. You know, I hired a management company. The first guy that I talked to had a horrible experience. And I mean, I'll be honest, like, that's the world I actually came from, is I bought a home as an investment property. And I mean, I think I went through three different management companies. I just couldn't find someone who could take care of the home. And I knew that we could produce the numbers we wanted, but it felt like they were the only ones actually making any money. And that's kind of where TrueStay was born.
Thank you. Tell us your blueprint for how an entrepreneur would manage their properties, or find, you can say, a person that would manage it in the right way. What would that person, that property manager, do that would allow you as the landlord to kind of make the highest possible return? Give us your 10 commandments for doing so.
Yeah, no, I love that. 10 commandments. That's a great way to put it. And honestly, I think we probably have less than 10. And that's okay. At TrueStay, there's a few things that we believe. And again, so far we haven't seen the industry necessarily believe in these same things, and that's okay. Like, none of this is meant to be an attack on other people. Our first thing is that we're big believers that, just like any relationship, both parties should want to be there, right? I mean, if I'm going on a date with someone, it's probably not because they're contractually obligated to go on a date with me. At least I hope not, right? The idea is that they want to hang out with me. And just like that, we want our clients to hang with us. And what we mean by that is that we don't do any sort of long-term contracts. We really don't do contracts at all. Anytime you want to leave, we just need a 30-day notice, right? Because the last thing we believe is that you have to stay with us. I mean, it's your home. And so if you work with management companies that are going to require these long-term agreements, and again, I fell for it, you know, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, and you think, yeah, no, it's a great deal, and, you know, I don't need to worry about this anymore. And then you find out you're not happy with them, and then you're stuck with them for another 2 years, right? Like, that's not what we're into. So again, we don't do any sort of long-term contracts. It's 30-day out. Make sure that your management company is comfortable with that. Two, and this is one that's pretty unique inside this industry, and I found out the hard way. When you have a short-term rental on like Airbnb, you actually don't own your own Airbnb listing. So if you fire your management company, right, or they choose to, well, for whatever reason, you guys go two separate ways, your management company takes your reviews with them. So if you work super hard, or they work super hard, and it got you all these five-star reviews, and all of a sudden you're a guest favorite, and that threatens to leave, it's really hard to break up with your management company. And so for us, we don't do that at all. Like, you as the owner will keep the listings for yourself, right? So we co-host on all of them. And, you know, there are definitely some complexities that come with that, and that's okay. We found processes to work around them. But the whole idea is that, again, if we're hanging out and you want to continue to hang out, awesome. We want to be with you. And if you don't, that's okay. Like, we want you to succeed. We want the best for you. So Cool. Give us a 30-day notice. You get a go. There's no cancellation. There's no penalty fee, and you keep your listing, right? And we hope that you continue to find success. Our third piece is that we're big believers in performance. So inside this entire industry, on average, what we've found is 25-30% is what an average short-term rental manager will take, and that's what I paid. Right? And again, our whole thing is we're not trying to be a race to the bottom of the barrel. We know there's other companies that charge 10%. Right, what we found is at the 10% mark, there's often a lot of things you're not getting. At the 30% mark, you're probably overpaying a little bit. Our whole idea is that we charge a 20% base with a 3% swing that goes either way, so 17 to 23. And our whole thing there is that we use data to set a goal for your property. So, like if we manage your home, right, your vacation rental, we'd meet with you and we'd sit down together and we'd say, "Hey, Lily, we think this home should do X." And if you agree with us and you want to work with us, that's the goal that you'll hold us accountable to. And if we hit that goal, we'll pay you, or sorry, we'll charge 20%. And if we miss that goal, we'll charge 17%. If we beat that goal by more than 5%, it goes up to 23%. So the whole idea is that, like, let's figure out a way that we can win and lose together. And again, so far, our clients have really loved that. We haven't seen a lot of other property management companies adopt that model. And again, there's definitely some complexities of understanding how to do your payouts, et cetera, but we want what's best for the owner. And then, our fourth is just this idea of over communicating. I mean, we have the owner's portal, you have a dedicated account manager, but I mean, we believe in over communicating everything. Every 90 days, we do a performance review where we look at the last 3 months, we look at the upcoming 3 months. Every year, we do an annual review. Like, these are all things that are all pre-scheduled in there. The owner's portal exists. And all of those things together for us, I mean, you say 10 commandments, for us, it's only one. It's how do we become the owner's best friend? Right? Again, if you want to hang with us, like, cool, we want to hang with you too. How do we build a world in which the owners want to hang out with us? And that's really been our goal since day one. I mean, I have two other partners, so the three of us that co-founded this, all three of us were property managers, I'm sorry, property investors first. And all three of us felt the pain of, oh my gosh, I swear my management company is the only people making any money on this thing. And as we got to that point, it really hit of like, okay, if we want this to really work, we have to care about the owners more than anyone else does. And what does that look like? AKA, what was the company that we would want ourselves? That's what we built. So, I mean, I don't know if that really answers that question, but that's kind of what we do.
Thank you. Tell us first, are you only managing properties that are US based? Yes?
Yes. So right now we're only US based.
Okay, very good. So I have run Airbnbs before in London, in the UK.
Sure.
And what I have found is that actually it can be very hard to make a higher profit than renting this long term. And I think that can be true if you don't know what you're doing, which is probably what I didn't know what I was doing. So, and even I gave my property to be managed for 2 or 3 months to a property management company that I thought maybe they could do better than me, you know? But at the end of the day, what they if you subtract what they charged and then the bills that I had to pay, I basically made less, you know, than actually me renting it for a long-term tenant. Now,
Sure.
it worked out for me because, you know, if otherwise the property would have been empty, and for that moment, it kind of worked out for those 2, 3 months that I rented out with them. But I'm wondering whether you have any specific strategies that global entrepreneurs that have Airbnb properties or, you know, properties that they place on Booking.com or Vrbo or some HomeAway or some other places. Do you have any tips on any entrepreneur can optimize the value, the perceived value of the property, so much so that anyone would be able to kind of increase their you know, their return on investment? Because there are some things that you can say are valid globally in terms of like how you make the house feel like a home and you know, the kind of little details that you include in the property that, you know, shows the prospective client that you deeply care about them. Tell us more about that. What are some hacks that any
Sure.
entrepreneur can leverage to optimize their ROI for short-term rentals?
No, I love that. And before I jump in, I think there's one piece I want to put in again, kind of as a disclaimer. So Again, with TrueSafe specifically, like our very first thing, so anyone that shows up and they're interested in working with us, we produce roughly a 20-page report on their property, right? So we run an analysis. We have a former Big Four accountant that works on our team that like helps produce all the data. We show all the comparables. And we've had millions of dollars worth of clients walk away because we tell them, as much as we would love to be your short-term rental manager, the numbers just don't make sense for you. Like we can show that this is actually a better midterm or a long-term solution, right? Maybe you live in a spot where the real estate was just too high when you purchased it, right? Maybe you're at a place where, again, the demand or the seasonality is too aggressive. So long term just makes more sense, or midterm makes more sense. So first of all, understand that not every home should be a short-term rental, and that's okay. Understanding what that looks like and using real data, there's amazing platforms out there. And again, I know that there are other companies like ours that are happy to help share that data. But finding a source of accurate data that's unbiased is a big deal. So that way you understand the lay of the land. Now, in terms of, what we do to make our properties pop out, I mean, I think there's a lot of things here that just go back to basic digital marketing, right? Because at the end of the day, most of the time, I mean, I believe right now in the US, I know this is US specific, but roughly 20, 22% of all bookings go through Airbnb. So we need to make sure that like our Airbnb listings look beautiful, right? That they are perfect, and then we copy them out through, all the other platforms. I know some people love the direct booking because they try to get around it, and that's absolutely okay. It's those are hard because, you're trying to compete against some big dogs, and you need to have some real, either a large social media following already in existence or some real money put into the ad spend. Our strategy is go really big and really aggressive on Airbnb first. When people are booking on Airbnb, there's only a couple of things that they're really looking at. Right? You get a very short headline. You got your cover image, right? And if those things catch attention, then they'll actually start reading the description. So, I mean, you are right. What's interesting here is that, and I think an area where sometimes people mix up with their short term is this idea of, well, I wouldn't want to live in this home, so I don't like I won't do this upgrade because I wouldn't want to live here. And I understand that, but the reality of it is that most of the time, the most successful Airbnbs, the most successful short terms, they're the ones that cut through the noise. I mean, it is becoming a very popular place. It is very crowded. To make your rental stand out, it has to have these amenities. It has to have the features. It has to have that Instagram moment, right? That they can show off to their friends and family of like, look at where I'm at and look how cool this is. And you're absolutely right. I personally don't want to live in a house that has a bright pink wall and these crazy murals and, an arcade room and all, like, those are not things that I want in my personal house. But when I'm on vacation, I want to show those things off. And so our job, right? So what we do with our design team is we sit there and we try to figure out what are the things that we can help guests imagine themselves doing, right? Where are those selfie moments so they can see, I'm going to take a picture right here and I'm going to post this on all my social media for all my friends and followers to see, because we want that. There's a level of validation that says, hey, I'm going somewhere cool and I need to share that to the world. And again, I don't know, that probably speaks deeper on human psychology, and that's okay. I'm not an expert there, but that's very important for us. We're continually A/B testing our headline. So like that's part of the job of our account managers is to take your headline and roughly every 30 days, test out a new one to compare how it performs against our previous track record and along with what the market is showing us, right? Is by highlighting a certain amenity, is highlighting a certain location, is there certain words, or are there certain things that attract more attention than others, along with continually switching out our photos. The other one that we really love doing is if we can find local influencers, we love setting up deals with them where we'll bring them in to do a photo shoot, and often we can do that at a very affordable rate to do lifestyle photography. And I know I'm probably opening up our playbook a little bit here, but I mean, again, we want everyone to win at the end of the day. And that's been a big win for us, right? Is we can find those micro influencers that have 5,000, 10,000 followers. And they get invited to come out and do a shoot with us. Like it's very flattering for them. Often we'll let them stay at the place for free, but there's very low to no cost other than the photographer. Most people will do real estate photos with no one living in the home, right? No one in the home. It's just the amenities, the walls, et cetera. And that's okay. But what we love is showing pictures of people in the hot tub, showing people, pictures playing these games. So I believe mentally we start seeing ourselves and thinking, I could be that person. I could be that person hanging out in the hot tub. I should be that person hanging out at that tiki bar. I should be the person watching that giant movie, or I could see myself hanging out with my buddies watching the football game or whatever it may be. And so we like to capture those moments. We make sure that those are in the photos. And then, yeah, again, design a home that's all about how do we make those moments shareable? Like, we just live in a hyper-connected world. We think those things are critical. I mean, I laugh about it all the time. I have a 10-year-old daughter. She has never played pool or billiards in her life. The last Airbnb we went to specifically, we chose because it had a pool table. And she was so excited. And she's like, I want to play pool. And I'm like, why? You've never played pool in your life. And she's like, no, but I want to. And we go there and we don't play. We didn't touch the pool table. Like, we were just so busy with everything else. We didn't use it. But my 10-year-old was so convinced that she was going to like play pool and thought it would be such a cool experience. Right. And eventually that's what won us over, is that we said, okay, well, my daughter really wants it. And it's in the same price range as everyone else. So she saw herself playing with that amenity and could see that experience all of a sudden. And that became really critical for us. So again, I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking, right? I think a lot of the times it is the fundamentals that are true. It just oftentimes we skip the fundamentals, right? I mean, I've seen some listings, we've taken over some listings where, I don't know, it looks like some of those pictures look like they were shot on like an iPhone 4, right? They're dark, they're grainy, they're blurry. You know, some of them are screenshots of other photos. Like, you can tell that there's just not a lot of love and attention put to it. I mean, we've taken over listings where there's spelling errors riddled throughout it, right? It's inaccurate, right? They say there's a certain number of beds, and then the actual pictures show a different number of bed or bedrooms, and it causes all this confusion. You know, and some of them are just, again, it just doesn't look like an appealing place to be. And so that's really our goal, is to come in here and how do we make this pop? How do we make it stand out from the noise, or cut across the noise and cut through all of it, and find really affordable ways to do it? Because really, at the end of the day, we also understand that we're playing with our clients' money. You know, and the second part, I guess the caveat to all of that, the guardrail, as my partner says, is that we use data to back it up, right? So having an analyst on staff helps us quite a bit when we can look at it and say, hey, look, only 4% of homes in this community have a hot tub, and yet hot tubs can command, you know, a premium of X amount of dollars inside this market. So if we can get you a hot tub for X amount of dollars and we can get this much more on your average daily rental, this can pay itself off within X amount of time, and you start making, you know, more profit here, right? All of your competing homes in the neighborhood look like this. So when they all zig, we're going to zag. We want to look like this. We want to pop out here. We want this to stand out unique. Let's run with this, right? And ultimately, it's the homeowner's decision. Like, we understand that. We're happy to work with them and our design team as we go back and forth. But that's really been our strategy, is finding ways to make something pop.
Thank you. How does someone decide whether to have a certain statement piece that could potentially attract attention versus putting off other people? Like, how do you even know? Is it a tiny bit like a lottery where you're just thinking, oh, I think, you know, my house would look so much cooler if I had this, I don't know, checkered board on the wall, or I don't know, something that would be like this statement piece, or not just one. Sometimes it could be multiple things that could be like a, you know, things that are Instagrammable, that can be, you know, taken a picture with, and then that could be the thing that makes your place stand out. How do you decide on what that thing is so that it doesn't put off your potential clients and it does attract?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And there's a couple steps to it. You know, and like everything, I think there's always a disclaimer. Part of it is a guess. You know, if I'm being honest, like, I don't have a crystal ball that I can look into the future and say, hey, this checkered wall does or doesn't attract this. With that being said, like, we do have the ability to do market research, right? We can start looking at on social media and saying, hey, these are trends that are very popular. They seem to be appealing to these types of personnel. So let's break down that ideal client persona. Who do you want renting your house? Are these the type of people that will pay a premium for this kind of experience? If we believe that to be true, then we believe this experience includes these features, this color palette, this statement piece, right? So just like any marketing campaign, and that's really how we view it, is we say, look, I can't guarantee that this has a, you know, an ROI, but we do have all these data points to show you why we believe that this is the right ROI. And then the other fact that we continue to go back to is say, and look, at the end of the day, there's no contract with us, right? So if we lose you a bunch of money, you're going to fire us immediately. So it's in our best interest for us to actually make this work, or else our design team worked for free, right? Like, we want to make sure that this is a win, because the last thing we want is for you to walk away. Like, we want to make sure we have these long-term relationships. So we do put in our own stake, our own line on the, sorry, our, we have a little bit of skin in the game in that sense as well. But that's really is, unfortunately, I can't guarantee it, right? We've come together with design packages, and sometimes the owners will come back and say, nope, I don't like it. It's too bright. It's too this. It's too that. It's not my feel. It's not what I want in the house. And that's okay too. But we're constantly trying to remind our owners as well. It's like, hey, look, we're not selling what you want in the house per se. What we're trying to sell is what people who are willing to pay to stay in your house want, right? And if you're comfortable with this, again, we have a great client in Arizona, and they're close to the springtime baseball camp, training scene. And I'll be honest, I'm not a baseball person. I don't really know what any of that means. Again, I have a business partner who's really into it, and that's why we found out a huge amount of people who go to that house as we did research. They go because it's really close to that whole training camp thing. And so we thought, you know what? Great. Like, we should go all in on some sort of baseball memorabilia and theme and build this entire baseball home experience because people are hardcore baseball fans that go there. And yes, some people are going to Arizona who aren't big baseball fans who will look at that house and say, nope, absolutely not. I will not pay a premium to stay in that house. And there's some people who probably hate baseball who will actively avoid it. But what we've seen is we've seen an increased ROI because for the people who want that, they will pay more for it. And they want to stay in that home specifically, right? And we're big believers of that too, of like, if you want to appeal to everyone, it is the equivalent of appealing to no one. It is much better for us to say, hey, let's go appeal to this segment of the market and be the best at that versus trying to be the people that look like everyone else.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, Paul Shin, and then our website, TrueStay PM. Someone else is sitting on the truestate.com URL. So if that person happens to watch, please call me because I'd love to chat. But again, our website is truestaypm as in propertymanagement.com.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.